in spending time with the Lord, he has laid some things on my heart that I feel I need to share with you because we're family, right? Oh. We're family, right? Okay. You know, I thought maybe y'all disown me and I need to leave, you know, so forth. Okay. Maybe 3 weeks ago, I made a statement in a meeting that we had after worship service, and that statement was the point that I felt that we as a church were going through spiritual warfare. And as you go through spiritual warfare, it's important that you keep in contact with God, that you spend more time praying at that point in time than you may spend at any other time. And I sat in a meeting approximately maybe again about 3 to 4 weeks ago. And in that meeting, there are about 50 members of this church that are not attending. 50 members that are out in the world and are not coming home to be fed and to be taken care of. There are another 8 individuals that come to this church that, if we use a term, we would call them seekers because they haven't joined yet. So that's about 58 people that we should be ministering to as a church body. Secondly, I can look back at records and see where at one point in time we were seeing somewhere between 60 and 70 people in worship on Sunday. And that number over the last month and a half has continually declined. So that means that, one, we are not praying enough for our family members, and we're not seeking to meet the needs of those that are in the world and looking for a place to come. Now, the second time I came here, I was walking out the door, and when I got to the first set of doors there, my peripheral vision had me to look to my left and to my right. And I saw the church vision, and I saw the mission of the church on the wall there. And I understand that sometimes you can have something hanging on the wall for such a long period of time that you walk past it and you don't even see it. Less more know that it's hanging there and understand what's on it. And what that says to me is that we have to be at a point where we can articulate the vision and the mission of the church so that as we walk out of this building and as we're moving through the community, that becomes part of our lives, that we are always sharing the vision and the mission of this church with those that we come in contact with. So I would invite you that before you leave the building today, that you stop right there and you look at the mission and the vision of the church and you kind of recite it to the point that you are able to get it to a point where it becomes part of you. Secondly, I understand that we are here and we are on Broad Street. And I believe in God's wisdom that for us to be at this site on Reed Street and for us to be on Broad Street, that God has a purpose. God just doesn't place you any place and doesn't care about you. If he placed us here and if he placed us on Broad Street, then there is a mission, there is a job that he wants us to accomplish where he has placed us. And in order for us to accomplish that job, in order for us to accomplish the mission, in order for us to do what he would have us to do, we have to be in contact with him. And that again brings me back to the point of prayer. Now, what I understand also is that everyone sitting in this room, God has gifted you. You have your natural gifts and your spiritual gifts, and God has gifted you for you to work within this ministry to spread his word throughout this community so that we are spreading the word of God and getting to know Christ, and at the same time we're making disciples in this community. So that also brings us back to the point of prayer. So I say all of that to you because I want you to join me in something over the next month. Okay? What I want you to join me in is that on Wednesdays at 11 in the morning and 9 at night, you don't have to pick both times, you only have to pick one, that at either 11 in the morning or 9 at night, you will spend 5 minutes praying for Emmanuel. That you make that commitment. Now, I'll tell you how I got 11 and 9. Emmanuel on Broad Street is in the 1100 block. This building is in the 900 block. Okay? So I want you to pick one of those times that on Wednesday in the morning or in the evening, you don't have to do it both times, that you would spend that time praying for this ministry. We need a dramatic change in our prayer life in order to get this church to where God wants it to be. Let me give you some history. I have never been part of a church that has not at least brought in 50 people a year. What I mean by that, have gone out into the community and witnessed and touched the lives of 50 people, that they were coming to church. Maybe all of them didn't join, but they were at least coming to church to find out about Jesus Christ. What I believe is that if we start praying and seeking the Lord, then all of these spiritual issues that we're dealing with, He will handle, to the point where this army that we have here will start winning people for the Lord, see your life change, and see this community change as we spend time with God in prayer. So I'm asking not that you do it and I don't do it, but I'm asking that you will join me every Wednesday for the next month. And what I want to do is for you to see at the end of the month what God has done. I want you to pray for those that are members, that they will start to come to church more frequently. I want you to pray for those that are out there in the world that are members of this church, that they will be won back to the fellowship. I want you to start praying that those that we have not reached out there, that we will start to mobilize ourselves to pray for, to reach those within this community. I believe that that is what the mission of this church should be, that we are winning and making disciples for Christ. And that's going to take prayer, and that's going to take your energies and your actions. So right now, all I want you to do is pray, and let's see what the Lord will do as we pray and seek His face in this area. Is that okay? Is that all right with anybody? Anybody got a problem with that? If you got a problem with, see that room over there? After the service, come over in the room and tell me you got a problem with it, and we'll try to work it out. I believe we can sit down and reason together if you have a problem with that. Okay? Thank you. Okay, if you would open your Bibles to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21. How many of you know what hard times are? How many of you have had hard times? Okay. You know, how many of you that your hard times has gotten so bad that at some point in time it brought about depression in your life? You became depressed because things weren't going your way. Or you've asked the Lord, why me? Now, most of you won't admit to asking the Lord, why me, but I would say, why not you? Why is it that you expect that you're going to be one of those privileged people that doesn't have hard times? You know, there are people that are working jobs, bringing home a paycheck, and are not happy about where they are. They define that they're having a hard time. Let's look at something. Job. You look in the first chapter of Job. Yeah, starting around verse 6, it says that there was a day in heaven where all the sons of man came up to heaven to see God. He invited him. And this was the first time I realized that Satan could come up to heaven. And God asked him a simple question. Where you been? And Satan says, paraphrase, I've been down on the earth raising hell. And God, with all wisdom, said, have you considered my servant Job? And then God even said after that, a righteous man. So God acknowledged that this was one of his prime apples in the field. And Satan says, well, I can't do anything with him because you got a hedge of protection around him. And God has so much confidence in Job that he said, I'll remove my hedge of protection from around him, and you can do what you want, but you can't take his life. What if he said that about you? What if he said, I'm just going to stand back, I'm going to take my spiritual protection from around you, and I'm going to allow Satan to have his way in your life? No, the story goes on. It says that his wife said, if I were you, I'd curse God and die. That's hard times. And just in the middle of those two points, it says that a messenger came to Job and said, all of your children were killed. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would go from sorrow to grieving to anger. Sorrow for their death, grieving their death, and then angry with God. And Job said, and this I always remember because I couldn't understand it for many years. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In his hard times, he drew closer to the Lord than allowing his natural emotions to take him away from the Lord. Does that happen when you're having hard times? Let's go another step. Jesus. I don't have to go through the whole story of Jesus' life. But you remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, not my will, but your will. Have you been there? When you know your will was different from God's will? And then he's hanging on the cross. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I could stay here and I can preach a whole sermon right there on that point. But what I want you to understand is that Jesus knew he was in the will of the Father. Yet there was hardship. What about in your life? What do you do when hardship comes? How do you handle the hardship of life? You know, what is your process in this whole thing? As we look into the scripture here in Luke, the 21st chapter, there is a number of different ways that scripture is recorded. In the NIV, it says, by your endurance, you shall gain your life. In the Thompson Chains Reference Bible, it says, by standing firm, you will gain your life. In the New King James Version Bible, it says, by your patience, you will possess your soul. So there are three basic words that come out of that scripture in three different translations. One is endurance, two is standing firm, and three is patience. So then we need to understand that if we're going to hold on to our relationship with God and maintain our soul existence, that we need to know that in this world, as we go through times of trouble, as we go through hardships, that number one, we need to know that we need to stand firm in what we believe in. Secondly, we need to know that it's not going to be a short run, so we must have endurance. And thirdly, we need to know that along with that endurance, we need to know that we need to also have patience. Now, some of us said, well, the enduring part is easy. You know, I can run with the best of them. Then we can turn around and we can say, well, you know, in this issue of standing firm, I can stand on the word of God that I already know. But where we get off the ball is the point of having patience and waiting for God to bring about the change in our lives. Because sometimes hardships, hard times can go not for 1 week, not for 1 month, not for 1 year, but we can have hardships that will take us 5 and 10 years if that be God's will for us to go through it. That's when we have to have patience. Because, you know, what happens, what works with on our patience, and we're going to spend some time around this, is that what works on our patience is our emotional level. Our emotional level sometimes will have us to believe things that are not true because we don't have the patience to wait on God. Now, one of the things that you need to understand as we look at this, that we're always focusing on the spiritual person. I'm not talking about your human side. I'm talking about your spiritual side, your soul. Now, when I talk about your soul, you need to understand that there are certain things that become part of you that are part of your soul. Your soul encompasses your affections. Your soul encompasses your will. Your soul encompasses your desire, your emotions, your mind, your reasoning, and your understanding. So all of those have to be tied in together as you move forward with this point of preserving your life during hard times. The title of this morning's sermon is Joy in Hard Times. Joy in Hard Times. In essence, that as you go through hard times in your life, that you're supposed to have joy. It's not supposed to be that when you're going through hard times that you're walking around with a sad face and everybody thinks that your dog died, your cat died, your frog is about to croak and you don't know what to do. There is supposed to be a level of peace. There's supposed to be a level of joy in your life so that as you go through hard times, the only persons that know you're going through hard times is you and the Lord. If I leave some of you at the station, you know, I'll back the train up, okay? So what are we supposed to be looking at is a new perspective on how we look at hard times. The goal is for us to change our perspective as we look at hard times. Have you ever heard a sick story? Boy, y'all are quiet this morning. I'm going to tell y'all a sick story. There was this minister, and he wanted a pet, but he didn't want a dog or a cat. So he went to a pet store, and they had this parrot, cockatoo. And he bought the cockatoo, and he brought it home.
And because the cockatoo has so many beautiful colors in him, he got a perch for the cockatoo to place him right in his living room. And that evening, he was having prayer service at his home. And the members of the church came over, and they were all sitting there, and they were reading the Bible, and the parrot started cussing. So he grabbed the parrot, and he took the parrot into the kitchen, and you could still hear the parrot cussing. So he took the parrot, and he put the parrot in the closet, the cabinet, and closed the door. When prayer service was over, he came back, he took the parrot out of the cabinet, he put him back on the perch, and he says, "You cannot talk that way in this house." And the parrot looked at him and went, looked that way, looked up, and didn't say a word to him. The next Wednesday night, there was prayer service again. And as soon as people sat down, the parrot started cussing again. The minister got upset, took the parrot into the kitchen, put the parrot in the freezer, and closed the freezer door. When service was over, he came back. He thought for a moment because he had forgotten he put him in the freezer. And when he came back, he got the parrot out, and he held the parrot here, and the parrot put his head on the man. And he said, "Sorry." And the minister said, "You cannot cuss in this house." And the parrot looked up at him and said, "Sorry again." Then he said, "It will not happen again." And the parrot, he took the parrot and put the parrot back on the stand. And the parrot looked at him and said, "What did the chickens do?" He had 3 frozen chickens in the freezer. I told you it was sick, didn't I? Change is what God is looking to and how we handle hard times. Okay? Last week they were saying that we're now coming into hurricane season, where they're preparing for hurricanes all along the Florida coast, all the way up to Georgia. You remember a couple years ago we had Sandy that came farther north and came all the way up through New Jersey and into New York. And what we found as we looked at what was happening is that the hurricane was having its way. It just tore up whatever came in its way. It did not matter what it was, it just tore it up. If we don't have the right perspective about hardships, Satan can run havoc in our lives. He can have his way in our lives if we do not have the right perspective on these hard times. Let's look at something here so you can understand. When it comes to a hurricane in your life, don't be fooled and don't act like a fool. When hardship comes in your life, don't be fooled that it's going to overrun you. Don't act like a fool, number one. Number three, number two, don't fear and don't let fear take control of you when you're having hardships. Number three, don't fret when you're having hardships. Your behavior during hardships is important. How you look at these hardships and how you handle these hardships are important. Your emotional response is even more important when you're going through hard times. If you remember when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat and they were out on the ocean and the waves came up, and there, if you want to call it, you can call it a hurricane. And Jesus was in the corner of the boat asleep. Now, at this point in time, they had, some of them had already acknowledged that Jesus Christ was Lord. And he's in the corner of the boat asleep, and they say to him, "Carest not that we perish." Understand that God will never leave you or forsake you when you're going through a storm. He's in that storm with you. Are you with me? And what you need to understand is that he is on that boat. He is in your life because his Holy Spirit indwells you. So he is in that storm with you. And you need to rely upon your relationship with God. And what helps you through this whole process is your time in God's word. You need to have some anchor. The word of God is what gives you anchor when you're going through a storm. That you are able to pull up scripture that gives you peace as you go through this storm. You need to be able to say, "God will never forsake me or leave me." If you can't say that, then if you don't know that, then as you go through the storm, you think you're going through it by yourself. Are you with me? Okay, now along with that, you need to also understand that your attitude is important when you're going through hard times. Sometimes our attitude is when we're going through hard times, we're looking for somebody to go off on. Can you feel me? We lose control of our emotions and we're looking for someone that we can go off on because we have no hope. Sometimes as we go through hard times, you know, we lose it. We cry. We feel despondent. We feel that there's no hope for us. Sometimes that when we're going through hard times, we even end up finding ourselves grieving about what we're going through. As a Christian, why would you grieve when you know that God is taking care of you even in your hard times? Let's look at something. Even when you're going through hard times and you are emotionally messed up, you don't know how long you're going to be going through this hard time, you need to understand that God is there with you, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that you are a child of God, and that no matter how much pressure is on you, and let me tell you this, sometimes when we're going through hard times, our hard times are dealing with things that are in the past, things that we can't control, like, you know, I had a bad life as a child. And that's why I'm going through some of the things that I'm going through now. That, you know, I've had a loss in my life. I lost my mother. I've lost my father. You know, and that is affecting me now. My marriage is affecting me. My children are not acting right. My job situation is not right. So all of these things are those emotional pressures that are pushing down on me, and I don't know how long I can continue through this whole process. Although the word tells me that I need to be able to endure, I need to be able to stand, that I may be able to be patient, I understand that all of this is pushing down on me, and Satan is talking to me, and Satan is telling me that God doesn't care. Satan is telling me that I'm in this for myself and don't worry about anything else. I got to make my own decision. God is saying that you cannot buy into that yin-yang, that you need to understand that there is no one in your life that is going to be there for you no matter what you're going through but God. Let me give you an example. You need to also be able to deal with some issues that God has been showing you in your life. If you remember Moses had issues in his life that have been with him from when he was very young, and he has never dealt with them. You remember he killed the guard in Egypt, and he left Egypt. Now, the whole thing you need to understand, Moses had an issue with anger. What's your issue that you have put on the back burner that you know God has been talking to you about and you have not dealt with? It can be anger. It can be coveting. It can be that you have a problem with money. It can be that you have a problem with lust. It can be that you have a problem with drugs. You know, what is that issue that God has put on your life and told you you need to deal with it, and you put it on the back burner of your life and you have not dealt with it, and that because of it, some of the hard times that you're going through is because you have failed to submit your life totally to God. You are out of it. Obedience with him, and you have not submitted yourself to him. Now, what Moses' case was, Moses guy came to God and said, these bad, hard-headed kids of yours want some water. I believe he probably said it to him that way, but it was a little reverent, but he was angry even to bring it to God. And God said to him, listen, go back, take your rod, talk to the stone, and it's done. And I believe, you know, Moses heard God and he understood God. See, because sometimes we will say, I didn't understand God. But God makes himself very clear to us. And then it says that Moses went over to the rock, and instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. Anger. We have issues in our lives, and because we don't deal with those issues, we find that it brings hardship to us, that we need to start to look back and say, what in my life is not pleasing God? So that he did not speak to the rock, he hit the rock, and God said, from that point, you will not go into the promised land. Now, along with that, you need to understand that God is saying, don't leave the path. In essence, that when you are a Christian, God gives you a path to walk with your life. And then what we do is we leave the path. Let me give you a good picture. When I go down south to see my father, we go straight down 95. And normally when we cross into North Carolina, every time you go a little bit, they have a rest area. And you can pull into the rest area. But the rest area is for what the sign says. It's for rest. Some of us will be on our path doing what God will have us to do. Then when we have hard times, we pull into the rest area. And we don't want to leave the rest area. Because in the rest area, we can cry. We can feel bad about what's going on in our lives. We can grieve. We can just feel that, hey, if I stay here long enough, maybe things will get better. And I don't have to, before I go back out on the road and do what God has called me to do. And what God is saying to us is that in this life, you don't have a rest area privilege. Did you hear me? You don't have a rest area privilege. He has called you into service, and your service, and I want you to understand that that physical body you have is there to serve you, to serve God from the time of your salvation until he calls you home. Okay? Now, I want you to understand, because it took me a while, I had to go back and read it. There is no place in the Bible that says a minister retires. You will not find it in the Bible. I believe that sometime when we step out of a secular job, God is saying, take all of your gifts, all of your abilities, and now use it for the Lord. You don't have to do the secular thing anymore. You got your Social Security. You got your retirement. Now I want you to take all of your time for the rest time that you're here on earth, and I want you to use it in my service. We do not have the privilege of going into rest areas when we are having hard times and allowing those hard times to take control of us while we are still supposed to be working and serving the Lord. Now, along with stepping off of the path, because we understand that these emotions that we go through, that our high priest has been touched with our infirmity, so God knows what you're going through. So the whole process that you need to do is you need to take your burdens, you need to take your cares to the Lord, allow him to give you direction for your life, but he is also saying and giving direction for your life, you need to stay on 95, you need to keep doing what he has called you to do. He has not given you that rest stop. Then he says to us also, don't drown. Okay? Don't drown. Don't give up. Stop crying. Don't defect. You know how we defect? Is when we're having hard times, when we don't come to church, when we're having hard times, we don't pray, when we're having hard times and we don't want to be around the saints, when we're having hard times and we just want to be by ourselves. Do you know Christians can have some of the best parties going? Christians can have pity parties that are off the wall, off the chain. They can go into a room and bring on their own gloom and just sit in there and talk about to themselves how bad their life is. And what God is saying that although you're going through hard times, he is in there with you fighting, and he's looking for you to hold on and to not defect and to not give up and don't deny the presence of God. He's saying that I want you to understand that I am there with you, and because I am there with you and because I care for you, that you need to just hang in there and allow me to help you through this issue that you're going through. He wants you to share with God emotionally how you feel. In essence, what God is saying to us is that we need to share with him exactly how we feel when we're going through something. And exactly how you feel is not always what we say to God. Because I know myself, you know, it takes some time, you know, you don't want to talk to God about what you're doing because you don't want to hear his answer. Lord, I just don't feel like praying. I really don't want to talk to you this morning. I don't know why I'm sitting here articulating, because what I'm going through, you know about and you haven't changed it. Why? I tithe. I give to the church. I serve in the church. Why am I going through hard times? Jesus says that we will in this world suffer. Lord, I don't like suffering. I shouldn't have to suffer. I should be able to live a life that is where you go back into John 10:10. I should be able to live that abundant life. I should be being blessed every day that I wake up. There should be showers of your blessing coming down on me. Why is it necessary for me to go through hardship? Why is it that you let my car break down when I don't have any money? Why is it that I was looking to go on vacation, and now I got to replace my roof, and I can't go on vacation? We were looking forward to going to Disney World. Why am I going through these hardships? I went to the doctor for my annual visit, and he told me I have cancer. What did I do to deserve cancer? Am I on your street yet? I want to honor you in everything that I do. I want to be a shining star for you, Lord, but I don't want any hardships. Bless me. Bless me supernatural, but don't give me hardships. I can't deal with hardships. I don't want to deal with hardships. I want my life to be one that everything is always going the way it should go and the way I want it to go. In hard times, God says, don't stagger. You know what it means to stagger? You move forward, then you fall back in your relationship with him. God says, don't stagger in hard times. He says to me, don't get stuck in one spot. In your spiritual life, don't get stuck. Keep growing in your spiritual life when you're going through hard times. Don't get stuck in one spot where you're no longer growing as you are going through hard times. Keep coming to Bible study. Keep studying the Bible. Keep coming to worship service. God is calling you to that. He says, don't stumble. Stay firm in your relationship with God as you go through hard times. Do not give up. Do not give in. Then he tells, if you look over into Luke 21, 34. I'm going to give you 5 points and we're going to close out here. 21, 34. Luke 21, 34. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down. Let's stop right there. I want you to read that whole verse, but I'm going to hold up on that point. There are 5 things that God is saying he wants you to be on guard with. Now, what I want you to do when you get a chance later on today, I want you to read Luke 21, 19, Luke 21, 28, and Luke 21, 34. Those are the 3 verses that this sermon is coming out of, and I just wanted to make that very clear to you. First thing you need to understand to be on guard is, where is your soul focused? Are you grieving during your time of hardship? Are you grieving, or are your affections focused towards God? Is your desire focused towards God? Is your reasoning focused towards God? Is your understanding focused towards God? Is your will focused towards God? Then it goes on, he says, straighten up, stand up. Some of us, when we're having hard times, we walk around and people know we're going through something. God says, you going through hard times? Walk like you know him. Walk like it's you and him in the battle. Walk like you don't have anything to concern yourself about because you're serving the Creator. Let's go back to what we used last week. Psalms 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants. Can you grab onto that? I have no wants. So if, in fact, I'm going through hard times, what I need to understand is, what is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to say to me? What is God trying to teach me as I go through hard times? There's something he wants me to learn. There's something he wants me to know. There's something I need to get out of this. Then the second side of that is, what do I learn about God as I go through hard times? Is he supporting me as I'm going through hard times? Let me give you an example. You're not working. You haven't worked in 3 years, but you haven't missed a meal. They haven't turned your cable off. But you're going through hard times. What is God saying? He's saying, I will hold you even when you're going through hard times. I will sustain you even when you're going through hard times. Because that's the kind of God I am. I love you with a love that you will never understand. You know what I tell people? You will never understand how much God loves you until you stand before him. That's the only time he will make it very clear how much he loved you when you were down here. When you're going through hard times, you're not doing it by yourself. God is in every period. He's in every I. He's in every dot of your hard times with you. He's there keeping you, because I want you to understand, if God ever took his hands off of you and let Satan have his way, you wouldnldn't live 10 seconds. Because Satan says to us, in John 10:10, all he wants to do is kill you. And if God ever took his hands off and said, you can do what you want, because if you remember what I said with Job, he said, you can do everything but kill him. Because if he had said, do what you want to do, Satan would have just killed him. God is keeping you. He is keeping you every moment of every day for your hard time as well as through your good time. Raise your head is the third thing. First, where is your soul focus? Straighten up, stand up. Three, raise your head. Raise your head. No pity parties. God's not dead. No depression. No stinking thinking. You with me? Spend time in your Bible. Four, look up. Come to understand what God is trying to teach you during that process. Closing out with five, push away and push up. Push away from the world and the values of the world, and push up through praise and through prayer until something happens. Pray until God changes your situation. Don't ever let anybody tell you you prayed enough. Pray until God brings about a change. You know what I relate that to? And I'm closing out right here. And I can't speak for most of the people in this room, but I'm going to use this as an example. When a woman is pregnant and she goes into labor, she is in pain. I've heard different women explain it differently. One woman told me, every time I get to the hospital, as soon as they get me in the room, boom, the baby comes. She don't know about pain. But then I've heard the women that say they've been in pain, in birth pains for 17, 18, 20 hours waiting for the baby to come. That pain is there until there's a change. That baby comes out. That baby is the blessing at the end of the pain. And what God is saying is that as you're going through this pain, as you're going through this suffering, as you're going through these issues in your life, understand that through your praise and through your prayer, on the end, there's going to be a result. And it's going to be a blessing. Every time you go through something, God has a blessing on the end of it for you. So what he's looking for you to do is to hold on and to do three things, five things I've given you. Focus, have your soul focused on him, straighten up, raise up your head, look up, and push up. Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for our time in your word. We pray, Lord, that it will sink deeply in our hearts, Lord, that we may first use it in our lives and then have it available to be used as we do your ministry. We just thank you for what you're doing, for how you're doing it. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and for what it has revealed to us this morning. We pray, Lord, that you have been pleased with what has been said and how it's been said. This we ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.